Good morning. Today is Tuesday, February the 18th. Joining us this morning, Spruce Point is a little bit shy this morning, huh?
A little bit shy?
A little bit shy. Or shy of what? Yvonne Valakovic is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We got all kinds of paperwork there, but before we even kind of get in that direction, we are going to do our Why Do We Say That? Let's see if we can find one that is. Ah. This was kind of an outdoorsy one.
An outdoorsy one. All right.
Yes.
I have a chance.
Mud in your eye. How did Here's Mud in Your Eye come to be an accepted toast?
Well, as usual, I have no idea.
Okay.
But I'll take a wild guess that it was the start of outdoor celebrations.
Almost. The expression is not a toast to another, it's a toast to yourself, for it means I hope I beat you. Okay? The allusion is to a horse race.
Okay.
There's your outdoorsy, right?
Yeah.
If the track is at all muddy, the rider of the losing horse is very likely to get mud in his eye.
Absolutely.
From the other horse that's winning. And it's probably a phrase that could be used in polite company versus other references
in other words,
in the same scenario.
But you would imply that I hope to be in front and you've got the mud in your eye.
There you go.
Well, in Humboldt, that's a fair statement.
There you go. Yes, yes. And being an outdoorsy girl, same, same.
We have a lot of precipitation these days.
There you go.
But I'm appreciating this dry period.
Now, last time we got together, we talked a little bit about the funding that the UC has, how you guys do battle and how you come up with programs and things of that nature. Is there ever attempts for either the UC or the Cooperative Extension specifically to go and do what the County Office of Ed does and others and go and kind of invade the Capitol and say, look at us, look at us. We're important. Aren't we great? Here's some crab. Aren't we wonderful? Aren't we great? You know, can you help us out and make us a priority?
Of course there are. How you do that, what the format looks like, what we're authorized to do, of course, is different than the average organization.
So there are some restrictions you have to operate under?
Absolutely, I'm under restrictions. We have government affairs people, as all organizations do, and we do not speak for the Office of the President, of course, which would be the Office of the President of the University of California. But we are fully authorized to provide educational materials and educational presentations about the kind of work we do and about the opportunities that presents for California. So you asked that question opportunely because that's what I was doing last week.
So when there are these representatives there, your office has got a variety of different programs and the next one down the road has got their variety of programs. What is the unifying message?
Sure. So I think for context is that there's only one budget request that comes in, and that's for the University of California, of which we are, you know, a very small piece of that. So there has to be a unified presentation about this 10-campus system and the diversity of which our division sits within. I describe ourselves as sort of the 11th campus, but we're dispersed and disaggregated and connected with communities and connected with local government because we are in partnership with local government. So in many respects, we're the face and the voice for the University of California for the average person, unless you're in that student population age or a parent of a student.
Yeah, tuition payer.
Right, a tuition payer, exactly. But within that, we have the opportunity to talk about some of the unique programming, the diversity of programming, the other ways that the University of California reaches Californians, and what benefit, what public value that provides.
Is there an understanding of that message? Or is it almost like you have to reintroduce the concept every visit?
Yeah, it really varies. I mean, most people don't grasp that 4-H is, you know, core to our program, that is our program in partnership with community, right? So usually we have to take a step back and sort of explain the concept, explain the network that, you know, we're attached to these what are called land-grant universities, of which we have 3 campuses in California, very unusual. We're just a very large state. I heard the other day there are 420 higher education institutions in California that offer a 4-year degree.
Really?
Yeah. 420. Staggering statistic. I mean, I can name a handful of those.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I go about five deep on that one.
So within, you know, this lens of higher education, well, we have a mission to extend, you know, resources to communities to be applied, and we have a mission that's far greater than what a typical four-year college institution would provide.
420. There's got to be some areas that are so concentrated with education because
and they have to be small.
We're so sparse.
There have to be a lot of small colleges out there.
You mean like DeVries? No. And, you know, I mean that kind of.
I think so. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe like some of the art schools and some of that kind of stuff.
Sure. I'm just parroting a statistic that someone gave to me that I didn't do the research on, but. This last week when I was at this legislative hearing, we asked the question, how many folks in this room, and there were 40 staffers in this room, knew of our division? And half of the room held up their arms and said, and their hands and said, I know of you guys, which was staggering for me.
That it was that high?
That it was that high. Because we are kind of a small division within this broader University of California.
Now, when you say staff, is that if there were 40... Are those 40 electeds who sent staff there, or are these people that kind of represent multiple legislators?
And that's a great question. What happened was one of our friends, an organization that's really interested in making sure that there's good science-based information around the topic of fire, offered to organize a briefing for us, and they partnered with Assemblymember Wood's office and then the Assembly Natural Resources Committee, and they put out a flyer and invited people to come with some targeted outreach. And
to include free food?
Yes.
There's your 40. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:19. No, it's not. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Alakovic. Yana, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, now you said that half of the staffers that you met with last week were aware to some extent.
To
or
some
at least
extent.
Knew that there was this thing called extension. Mm-hmm. Then you said fire.
Right.
Okay. Now that's a whole different little twist into the equation. I hope if you had asked how many are familiar with fire, you would have had all the hands up.
Oh, certainly.
So where's this nexus between the two when you're saying extension and fire and you're saying it?
Right. So when we're trying to look at the issue of the wildfire problem in California and what policy opportunities there are to help protect people and homes and, institutions and infrastructure and landscapes and forests and watersheds, you know, where do you tackle that? And I remember after the Tubbs Fire, which is the one in Santa Rosa and that Sonoma County.
Santa Rosa 1.
Yeah, Santa Rosa 1, yeah, before the Kincade Fire. My phone started ringing with all these folks that I've been working, because I do work in the policy arena quite a bit, saying, what do you think? Where should we go? What should we do? And I thought, is policy the solution to this issue? Or is it that we just don't have education? People don't know what to do. What is it? And so I've been evolving over the last 3 years in thinking about what realm policy can make a difference and policy changes can make a difference. So policy can release funds, for example, that get work done on the ground. Policy can inform, regulations. Policy can inform education in general, because that comes through funding. And so the first year in 2018, we saw the legislature focus a lot on the permitting process for doing fuels reduction and how to work on the forest side of this and how to kind of grease that wheel and facilitate it to move more quickly.
Even in the coastal zone?
No.
Sorry?
No. Not going there.
Yeah. The police guys.
Right. And then we saw last year was more focused on the home and the built environment and trying to release funds to be able to incentivize upgrades of people's homes and, you know, thinking about infrastructure protection. And so now we're in this formative period. All spot bills have to be in by the end of this week in the legislature.
Spot bills.
So basically a placeholder for a concept, right? So between November and mid-February, folks that are elected are working on what their concepts are. And then kind of by May, they're relatively formulated. They go through conference committees and bills get merged. And then the ones with the greatest strength behind them tend to get other pieces added to them because that's the bill that's got the direction and the energy behind it. So we're in this period right now where they're still trying to formulate some ideas. And the question is, does the University of California's Cooperative Extension Program have some potential to be a part of that solution to creating resilience in California, both in communities and infrastructure in the wildland? And I would argue that I think we have a lot of talent and a lot of resource in that capacity.
When you're out in these communities, too.
Exactly.
And I suppose that's for a lot of us, I think that's a big deal. If you're out of San Francisco.
Right.
What kind of validity is there in any message that's said?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you're not dealing with it.
Well, we are in every county, and we're embedded in county government. We're embedded in communities. We're trusted long-term partners. We're non-regulatory. You know, we're armed with the best and latest science-based information, but we are, you know, people of the community and understand that you can't just have, you know, untested ideas and come to a property owner and say, all you need to do is... I pulled off the shelf.
Tell me what to do instead of you do it also.
Right.
That attitude, yeah.
And we're good at sort of facilitating the, you know, solutions to the barriers because we're capable of pulling groups together.
Problem solving.
Right. Yeah. But we, because our mandate is so broad, we're able to facilitate conversation where, because a lot of issues in natural resources tend to be very siloed, where you've got one group not talking to another group, we can pull all parties together and try to...
I prefer the castle analogy of those with the moats in between.
Or the stovepipe analogy.
Guns drawn.
Yeah.
Flaming oil, perhaps.
Or a Trojan horse, shall we say.
So in looking at that and then considering as there have been these changes, societal changes, what we perceive as normal, what we demand, from others, from ourselves, all of that is really this nebulous thing that's out there. Then you throw fire in there and say, okay, monopoly, PUC.
Yeah.
How do I say this one nicely? Wildlife concerns.
Sure.
Don't touch, don't do. You
know, sure.
Okay, let it grow, let it go natural. And you put all that stuff in that stovetop container. What comes out most times is either non-functional or nobody agrees to it, and it just kind of dies ugly on the shelf. Mm-hmm. How do you take it from those inputs for something like this and try to inject it into the system and get legitimate feedback?
Yeah.
Not emotional, but legitimate feedback.
Yeah. That was the conversation I was having. I had some private meetings with the, in addition to being down there, so the Governor's Office of Planning and Research spent some time with me yesterday, and we were at this event, and we were talking about how you actually deliver incentive programs. And so, for example, there was a bill that was passed last year that is about the bringing of funds to help incentivize upgrades to people's homes or buildings and businesses to become more resilient to wildfire. And what lessons can we learn from energy upgrades, for example, to be able to ensure success in that effort?
And it's a really short list, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well understood and well embraced. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic about fire and avoiding fire. Mm-hmm. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Jana, considering some of the different challenges that are there, whether it's with funding or philosophical mm-hmm. and approaches, the word that strikes probably the most amount of fear in a lot of us is Sacramento. Okay. So if that's your reality and then trying to push things through, how do you maintain kind of that foot in both worlds? Sacramento for the funding and the authorization and the policies and blah, 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 blah. And then the reality of what we know.
Right. I mean, my hat's off to anyone who chooses to really dedicate themselves to public policy and development in Sacramento, because it's not a job that I ever want in any permanent way. You know, I hope the people that are there have been grounded in real world experiences, or at least have the opportunity to get grounded in real world experiences. Any time that there's an opportunity to host a legislator or their aides here, we reap so many rewards by their understanding of moving out of a windowless conference room into to the world of application in the real world. For me...
you have a tough time going the other way? Not you, but for usins try to grasp what in the world Sacramento is thinking and what they're doing and how come they're just not out to lunch all the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I'm not there enough to know what the daily work world is like. I mean, I think fundamentally we're all just people, right? And if I can relate to someone on a very humanistic and personal level, then I think we can start to find common ground, because we all face the same challenges and generally want the same opportunities of,
you know. Are they open to do the field trips?
They are open to do the field trips. Whether you can, you just have to time it well and time it when they're out of session and how to accommodate that. Sometimes you have to facilitate transportation in that effort. The reason I have so much opportunity to work in Sacramento is I got some of Assemblymember Wood's staff here a couple of years ago and took them on what was probably the most miserable field day ever. We were out in the kind of Bridgeville area, and it turned into a sleet storm, and we were on a quad. He brought his girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife, who has not forgiven him, he reminded me yesterday, and, you know, riding around, getting wet.
Run out of gas, too?
No, we didn't run out of gas.
Oh, you almost had it.
But we were definitely at like 38 degrees and sleeting, and spent the whole day looking at stuff in the woods, and then went back to the landowner's home who we were touring and had chili and hung out in their house and warm reception. And we got real, right? And from this point forward, we've got a great place of trust, and he calls me all the time and says, "What do you think about whatever the issue is?" And so I give him my opinion, and I, you know, I can't say that they always follow it, but they're always. But
all you can hope for is the year.
But I get the calls back, and so we connect on a level, and he hasn't been back since, and I keep encouraging him, maybe in a drive.
Perhaps
time.
In August,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
but he hasn't taken me out on the town in Sacramento either. But I.
Well, it's time to start getting that quid pro quo here. Yeah. So by having one there, is that enough? Does that guy have the trust of others so that within the department, within his circle of contacts, he now kind of becomes? Yeah, is it spreading?
I would say it's spreading. I mean, as I said, this last week we had 40 people show up. I figured 10 was going to be success, and we had 40, and it included a bunch of the budget and appropriations folks from both houses, and a bunch of mid-level staffers, which is they're the ones that do all the hard lifting, and yeah. they're the ones that, you know, generally are on, a little bit on the younger side, and you know, are
longevity is what you're saying.
Well, no, too. I mean, they come in with exuberance and passion, and you know,
fired with enthusiasm.
You know, there to do the good work and to fight the good fight, and
so with with the fire being one of those top of mind issues, do you see most of the arguments, most of the process, most of the discussion being focused on emotional or on the logical side of the ledger and trying to plan out and to work with opportunities that currently exist that don't involve eminent domain,
right?
And another level of taxation. I mean, the whole sprinkler thing and solar panels, right. And you know, if they want to blow it up real quick, that's an easy way to do it.
I think there's a fair bit of agreement around wildland management, and there's been a strong shift towards the recognition that prescribed fire needs to be in the toolbox.
Management rather than
right.
natural.
Yeah. And that is huge. I mean, when I'm in Sacramento, the number of folks that understand the word prescribed fire, whether they know what that means, but they're not freaked out about it anymore. So there's been huge progress there. The home hardening resilience piece and bringing money in, huge progress. Disaster planning, disaster mitigation thinking, transportation, those conversations, huge. I think where it gets a little squirrely is in the land use planning element and the state versus local control debate. And
it's,
you know,
tough to give up power.
It is, and it's, you know, it's a really difficult decision in each community to figure out how you foster economic development, how you, you know, foster business and enterprise, how you think about that from a planning frame, and with all these competing forces, and you're ultimately an elected official, and these are difficult decisions with often incomplete information to...
Well, or perspectives that aren't necessarily accurate.
Right.
You know, folks from LA, what are they going to know about wildlife decisions made in Lassen County? But right. their vote counts the same.
Yeah.
And that, I would suspect, is a frustration point.
Well, and but the other piece that's been helpful is the airshed issue and the wildland-related impacts from smoke spreading into urban areas and this realization of connectivity between urban and rural.
That's one thing. You smell smoke from 300 miles away. Yeah, something's going on. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. Jana, the fire concept and the fact that so many of the state, well, I would have a tough time, as I think everybody would know, because 80% are Dems. Okay, they're not going to listen to me anyway. Okay. But the fact that so many are also representing population areas where
right.
they see the rest of the state outside these major developed areas as parkland. Okay. I mean, we've been dealing with that one for a long, long, long time up here. Are they more open to the message because they have such little familiarity with it? Or do they tend to be more locked in place because either their constituency is locked in or they do have that perspective of parkland?
I can't speak for all of the electeds or by my perceptions of them, but I feel like there's movement, there's conversation. The Thomas Fire had, you know, impacted a major urban area, yet was a wildland-related ignition, but yet there were synergies between both of those.
So you got to smell some smoke.
You got to smell some smoke.
That's,
I mean, what I talk to folks about is, you know, nature doesn't really care whether it burns or doesn't burn. what matters is us and this built environment and the world that we've created over the last really 150 plus years. And that's what the problem is, because it impacts us in this major way. And we haven't really designed our communities to respect the fact that California's climate facilitates a Mediterranean system where we get this prolonged drought and a wet period, which facilitates vegetation growth, and that fosters the opportunity for wildfire.
Yeah, that thought was not there. It was.
And we thought we could control all fires. And, you know, we created a fire force, the firefighters, right? We don't do this for earthquakes. We don't do it for hurricanes. Don't do it for tornadoes, right? But we have this expectation.
Well, they'd be bored if it was tornadoes. Give me a break.
But we have this expectation that there's this service that's going to protect ourselves at all times. And that's just not possible. We know that. And so what do we do on those other issues? Well, we adapt and we build smarter. Right. We use latest information.
Progress.
We progress. Right. Yeah. And so we haven't really done that when it comes to fire. And so the built environment is
because
something
of tradition.
I think because of tradition, because of we think that fire is something that happens far away and it's something of the forest only. And
or avoidable
or and avoidable and controllable. And what we've seen by these wind driven events where you've got a really long distance and movement of little spots of embers that can start fires in front of, you know, the flame front and lead to massive progression.
That 55 mile an hour moving fire thing.
One, it can cross in 8 lanes of freeway. And
yeah.
So what does a fuel break do in that kind of environment? Right. It doesn't do much. It'll do something when it comes to a moderate condition fire where you can get in front of it and you can have crew safety and you can do direct attack. But when you're dealing with these extreme wind-driven fires, then we really have to modify our built environment to be resilient.
So is the UC system, is the extension system looking at embracing, incorporating fire prevention, fire education?
That's precisely why I'm in Sacramento, is talking about what would happen if we really doubled down on this effort, expanded our programming, and really took it on at a statewide level, looking at human health and human concerns, looking at air quality, looking at land use planning, looking at the built environment, looking at the wildland environment, looking at the management tools, and then used our dissemination network to be a key partner in helping, you know, bring a good idea into fruition.
Was there any resistance to that thought?
No.
Nice trip. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.